Again, here it is Sunday morning. Welcome everybody to the Sunday morning adult discussion class at Wings Christian Fellowship. Today we're going to be in 1 Corinthians again. We're in chapter 10 again, and I think we're going to start right at verse 6, and then we're going to go on. Let's stop at 10. Let's just do 6 to 10 and we'll see how it goes. Okay? Father, we thank you.
Yes.
We thank you. We thank you. We thank you that you woke us up this morning. We thank you, Father, that you are bringing us, calling us up into you.
Yes.
Just ascending into you. That our understanding will come into a place where we can begin to understand your ways and to bring your ways to our brothers and our sisters. Not as a do as I say, not as I do kind of a thing, but by becoming what you would have us to be in this earth today. Father, just further awaken us and bring us into your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Before you start, can I say something? I was just going to tell you, we got contacted by somebody who wanted to get some CDs from our messages that are on the internet. And actually, they lived over in Hamilton, which you just never know. But anyway, what I'm trying to say here is this: is that they were down into 2019, so that means they worked their way all the way down there, and they wanted to get a couple copies of different people that had spoke, you know, and so that's just to encourage us, you know, that even in the Sunday school class, you know, you don't know how far outreaching it's going, you know. Sometimes it can be the next neighborhood over, or it can be somewhere around the world, you
Isn't
know.
That
so,
amazing?
So. Even if you have a small group, don't never get too discouraged, because God's word never returns void, and it goes out to wherever he would send it. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to tell you that, because we came down and made them a couple of CDs and mailed them to them, you know, because they asked us to do that.
Marvelous is our God.
That means that they had listened on the internet, but they were wanting to send them out to somebody else. So that's a good thing, see?
Yeah, it is.
So, anyway.
How wonderful is our God?
That's an encouraging thing, you know, for all of us, you know.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I just wanted to let you know that.
Okay. So let's, which one of you guys with the Amplified over there want to read this? I think Brenda's pointing at her honey. She got a donut in her hand. This is just for the benefit of those who are listening.
She's busy eating the donut.
Yeah. Honey, you're on.
Now, these things are examples, warnings, admonitions for us not to desire or crave or covet or lust after evil and carnal things as they did. Do not be worshippers of false gods as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink the sacrifices offered to the golden calf and whore, and rose to sport, to dance, give way to jesting and hilarity. We must not gratify evil desire and indulge in immorality as some of them did. And 23,000 suddenly fell dead in a single day. We should not tempt the Lord, try his patience, become a trial to him. Critically praise him and explore it. His goodness as some of them did and were killed by the poisonous serpents. Know that this continually complained as some of them did and were put out of the way entirely by the destroyer, death.
That's the 10.
Yes, it did.
In verse 6, it says, now these things were our examples. Mm-hmm. And I think that's talking about what went before, and it's also talking about what comes beyond. To the intent, I'm reading out of the King James, that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication. And when I was talking about fornication, and my mind went to adultery, and then my mind went to the word adulterated. And you know, some of us have certainly, at our ages, with our walk with the Lord, and with our wonderful spouses that we have, I mean, you know, to actually say to be adulterers doesn't hit us as to have sex with a person other than our husband or our wives. But it does mean, let's not be adulterated. And unadulterated means that it's pure, like unadulterated milk, and you know, anything that's unadulterated means that it's not mixed in with something else. It's pure. And that's the only thing that I can say that the Lord brought to my mind about that. Let us not be mixed. Let our love be pure. Our love making, our relationship, that deep relationship we have with our husband or our wife or our spouse, our families, let it be pure. You know, it takes a long, long time when a person takes a wife or a husband to get down to the nitty-gritty of who we really are. And if we are revealing our true selves one to another, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty of who we are. You know what I mean? I was watching a show the other night, and this guy got married, and he asked this girl to marry him, and he said, do you think you're going to find she said, you know, why are we getting married so quickly? And because they loved each other so much. And he said, are you afraid you're going to find something in me that you don't find lovely? And he said, well, let me assure you that you will. And it takes a lifetime for those things all to be uncovered and lovingly dealt with, back and forth and back and forth, and bringing these things to the surface and then dealing with them and letting them go until our love becomes more and more unadulterated. That as our love becomes pure, that is a symbol of Christ and his church. To have that hiding nothing, withholding nothing, you know, from our Lord. We need to learn how to do that too. I mean, we still walk around, even at our ages, even at our spiritual age, not only just our chronicalized age, thinking silly things, like we are hiding something from our Lord. And we aren't. Best to be open. Best to be always open. Anyway, that's what that showed me.
Did you look up the word fornication or fornicate, what it means? Because I'm sure it means more than just sexual. That the definition.
Yeah. It says something about idolaters and committing fornication. There's a lot to be said about idolatry, and there's a lot to be said about. Let's see here. Fornication, as it's used in that reference. To prostitute one's body to the lust of another. Interesting there. to give oneself to unlawful sexual intercourse, to commit fornication, metaphysically, to give in to idolatry, to worship idols. So that kind of falls, one falls on the, another. And to permit oneself to be drawn away by another into idolatry.
I can see, like when I was thinking about your soul meaning, if you're drawn away from even in the relationship with God, not just looking at it sexually, but looking mm-hmm. at it spiritually, mm-hmm. that it would be an act of fornication because you're drawn away to that which is not him, mm-hmm. and not the relationship that he has for you to have with him, and the oneness and the unity he would have for each of us to have individually with him and with one another. Can you see that? Do you see?
Even, yes. Yeah, I mean, everywhere in the Bible that it talks about, even so, a man will take a wife and leave his parents and cleave only to her. It says that this is a picture of Christ in his church. This is a picture of Christ in his church. Anybody else?
I'm looking at Brother Oscar to see if he anything that you can enlarge upon on that or explain more on it.
Well, let me look here a minute. I'm trying to look up the actual definitions of those words there. Mm-hmm. Outline Bible usage of that is usually to prostitute one's body to lust of another, mm-hmm. to give oneself to unlawful sexual intercourse, to commit fornication, and metaphorically to be given to idolatry, to worship idols, to permit oneself to be drawn away by another into idolatry. You know, if you look in the Old Testament and you look at Solomon, you know, Solomon had a dream and the Lord told him to ask what he would, you know, because he was going to give him what he asked for. Mm-hmm. And Solomon asked for understanding. He didn't ask for wisdom. A lot of people think he asked for wisdom. He didn't really ask for wisdom. He asked for understanding, that he might be able to go in and out among such a great people as, you know, Israel, you know, to judge them and stuff. And God told him because he asked for that, that he would give him great riches and everything else. See? And, you know, there's another place in farther back in the Old Testament where God spoke to them and told them, when you come into the land, see that you don't take to yourself horses and wives. Not a wife, wives, more than one wife. And Solomon's big downfall in what he did in his lifetime was he took a lot of wives. And when he took those wives, he had wives from other parts of the nations and stuff, and a lot of them got him into things where there was idolatry and all this other stuff, see? And you know, even though, you know, in those days, you could have more than one wife, and I mean, please don't misunderstand when I say this. It's hard enough to deal with one woman, much less 10 or 15. I mean, trying to make them happy, you know what I mean? And I'm sure they feel the same way if they had a bunch of husbands, you know. You just imagine, you know, I mean, you try to please each other, you try to do things that, mm-hmm. that you think will the other one will you know, make them happy and stuff. And I can't imagine what in the world that man went through, because he had many concubines, a bunch of them, and wives and stuff. And when you think about that, and and they drew him away into the into idolatry, you know. And you know, I mean, he had a great start, but not a great finish, you know what I mean, in that sense. And you know, look at David. I mean, you know, David was supposed to be out fighting with his troops, and he was at home up on the rooftop of the of the palace. And what is what does he do? He sees a young lady taking a bath down in the lower level, you know, of another house, and he calls for her and has her come. Well, in those days, you didn't have no much choice. If the king called for you, you went, you know. And whatever the king wanted to do, you did whatever the king wanted to do, or you were killed, you know. And it ended up being that, you know, he committed adultery with Bathsheba, you know. And then I think David Bathsheba. And then what did he do? She was with child, so he he calls her husband back from the front lines and wants her to go in and have relations with his wife. Well, he wouldn't do it. He said, as long as my other fellow men are out there not taking the comfort of their home and so on and so forth, he said, I can't do that. Well, what a righteous guy when you think about that. I mean, really, you know, when you think about that. And what did David do? Sent him out to the front part of the battle and told the people to withdraw from him. So he might as well just have stabbed him with a knife right there and killed him himself, because he did kill him. But then again, what did God do with David? He turned around with David and sent Nathan the prophet to him and told him, said, Nathan started telling him this story. And I think, and you ever sit out in the assembly and have somebody preach and you feel like they're stepping on your toes? I mean, really, and that should happen. I've had people call me up in years past and say to me, "Was you talking about me tonight?" You know, when I've shared something, and they didn't like it. That, you know, and I'd said, "No, not necessarily." I said, "But if it applied to you, then maybe you should, you know, heed the words. You know, that kind of thing." But. But God has a tendency that he gets to the bottom of things, and he did with her with that situation. So he starts to, has Nathan the prophet start telling David about a story about a man who only had one sheep. This other man had all kinds of sheep, and back then, if you had your sheep, were your livelihood. You know, that was all you had. You know, and the more sheep you had, the richer you were going to be and stuff. And he and David, having been a shepherd, he knew exactly what the guy was telling him. He said, this one man had one sheep, and he said, the guy who had all kind of sheep took his one sheep and, you know, basically killed it or whatever. David got mad. I mean, it really made him mad, really. He said, well, surely that man will die. He was going to kill him, have him executed. And what Nathan said, David, that man is you. Boy, when you talk about jumping on your toes, he had some clodhoppers when he jumped on his toes right there. and you know what? What did David do? He admitted his faults, you know.
I am the man.
Yeah, and he took her to be his wife, you know, after that point. And when the baby was born, it was sick. And David put sackcloth and ashes on and asked for God's mercy, you know, on the child and all that kind of stuff. The baby died. They said David got up, washed himself, anointed his head, you know, anointed his head with oil and all that stuff, went on about his business. And people didn't want to tell him that the baby had died. But then they came to him and they said, well, you know, when the baby was still alive, you know, you were in sackcloth and ashes, but when it died, you got up and anointed yourself and went on. He said, well, he said, as long as the baby was still alive, there was a chance that God would be merciful. Mm-hmm. He said, but once, you know, God took the baby, he said, there wasn't no point in, you know, putting that sackcloth and ashes on. He was done. But see, David, the only difference between David and the other people and during his time, because they said David was a man after God's own heart.
Yes.
Well, the reason was is that he repented. Mm-hmm. When he was caught in the act, he basically would say, "I did it. I'm sorry," you know. And he'd even say, "Against you and you alone have I done this,"
yeah,
to the Lord. He didn't mention the woman or the woman's husband that he had sent out to the battle. He said, "Against you and you alone, Lord, have I done this thing." He realized that everything that he did, just like what Kathy was kind of saying, revolved back around the Lord, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, I tell you what, God has a way of humbling you down. And,
yes,
and David never got too puffed up in himself, even though God allowed him to do some awfully mighty works, you know. Even in the ministries today, you got to be careful when you're in the ministry, in the sense that, you know, there's a lot of temptations, and there's women that will throw themselves at pastors, you know, and ministers and stuff, and some of them are not really devout in their walk with God, and some of them, I think, at times will think, well, you know, hey, this is a notch in my belt, you know, if I can get a guy like that or something.
And some are just drawn away,
yeah,
by the love,
yeah,
and the anointing they see upon.
That's right.
Drawn,
that's right,
to that. It's not just.
That's you're right.
But it loses in the translation of our humanness.
It does what?
They lose the purity.
Yeah.
Of the emotion,
yeah,
in our union.
Well, see, I can tell you this, as you know, being a pastor, I don't like to counsel with women with just me and the woman,
mm-hmm,
in any kind of a real private situation. You know what I mean? I mean, if you came to me for counseling and we went in the office, the first thing I would do is walk over and open the blinds. Why? So that anybody walks by and see what's going on, then we're just sitting there talking. Not because I think something would happen, but because that's the right thing to do.
And you don't want your good to be spoken of or looked like evil.
Right. And I one time counseled with a woman years ago, and I'll be honest with you, years ago. And boy, I got a feeling from her that she was, well, I hate to put it bluntly, but she was way over sex, and I could, the counseling she was talking with me about had something to do with that, with her and her husband. And to be honest with you, I would not get off anywhere private with her.
Mm-hmm.
When I counseled with her, I sat with her in the back of the old church in the vestibule,
mm-hmm,
where everybody could walk right through or whatever. And a lot of times I will bring Margaret into something like that and have her sit in with it or something, or another one of the brothers or something. Because I tell you, you just don't know. And that's not saying that, you know, that it's not because I think I would do anything, but it's because I don't want even the appearance of that,
yeah,
you know. And, you know, there's been many, many pastors that have felt to that, you know, and there's been many lady ministries that have fell to that, you know, too. But you know, we have to be real careful in that sense. And you know, I can totally understand, you know, with Solomon, he was sending himself down a road that was a bad road. I mean, you know, I don't know how in the world a lot of those Mormons, the ones that practice the old type of Mormonism, I don't know how in the world they could have 6 or 7, 8, 10 wives, and 20 or 30 kids, and all that stuff. Huh?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean,
there's one on TV.
Yeah, how do you do that? I mean, how can you, that just...
Quite frankly, how do they have the energy?
Well, and they spend time here, and then they'll go over and spend time over here. Another, I guess they divide their time up, but still in all, That's crazy, and it's not fair to the person even, you know, to the woman. It's not fair to the children. It's not, you know, it's that's just a terrible situation. But anyway, you know, getting a little bit off track here, but you know, we need to try to, you know, make sure that we don't get ourselves in those situations if we possibly can, you know.
Brenda?
What I was going to say is when he asked Brother Oscar to ask me to share one of the Sundays, and God all that week gave me on forgiveness and scripture and everything, and also experiences that I had,
yeah,
where he was requiring forgiveness from me. And then that Saturday, Savannah asked me and Buddy to go to church with us.
Yes.
And when I was speaking, and I was, you know, you look out at people, she was just sitting there looking at me like, because when I was done and we came out, she said, oh yeah, what did she say? You know, like I just spoke that because she was coming.
There, yeah.
I said, I didn't know you were even coming.
Right.
Wow.
God gave me this
after
Brother Oscar had asked me.
Right.
We talked about it on the way, you know, afterwards, because God was looking for forgiveness for her, you know, for her mom. And then I know when I was looking at, there were some things you could look out, and something I said, I remember what it is now, but Joey got to cracking up laughing because she was identifying with me in that circumstance that I was in, and you do, and you know that you know, God is speaking, you know, to you with that. But I thought that she couldn't wait when I got off, come walk down. She stood up and saying that. She wasn't like mad. She was like, you just, like I just.
Well, she thought you were just aiming that at her.
At her. And I was
and
not,
really,
because
weren't.
I already had everything prepared before.
God has a plan.
Yes, yeah. He does.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Precious.
Well, I was wondering if you guys look at verse 8.
Yeah.
Which is what we started talking about today. And it says something about, neither should we commit sexual immorality. I'm reading out of the Passion now. As some of them did, which caused the death of 23,000 on a single day. Did that grab anybody or just me? How did that cause the death of 23,000 on a single day?
Well, when...
And I looked back because it said, see Numbers chapter 25.
Mm-hmm.
And in that,
isn't that probably where Moses was up in the mountain? And
no.
And
oh yes.
And the leaders
rose
up to
yes.
play, and
mm-hmm.
the people came to them and
the
told them, let's make
yes.
this idol. You know, Moses
yes.
hasn't came back, and all this.
Well,
time,
this
and,
just. Hit
yeah.
me. I was just looking at it,
yeah.
and it has to do exactly with what you were talking about.
Yeah.
Don't go and take wives, you know. And it says the Israel abode in Shittim, which is very interesting,
right
there. And the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab,
uh-huh.
which was exactly what God had
right.
said not to do.
Right.
And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their God. Of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods.
Mm-hmm.
And Israel joined himself, but it was the nation, I think, to Baal Peor, which is Baal or whatever,
mm-hmm.
the god at the place of Peor. They were in Peor, so. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. Is that the one you were thinking of?
Well, that's, yeah, it's
mm-hmm.
similar, but that's,
yeah.
that happened numerous, kind of a few different times with
did
them.
Did it really?
Because they, you know, they always sent, they always tended to fall away into things.
Isn't
very
that amazing? Yeah.
I was thinking about even when Jacob left Laban's house, if you remember, Laban came after them, if you remember the story,
mm-hmm.
came after them, and guess what? Rachel had idols hid under her stuff, and it was her dad's idols.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that stuff creeps in, see?
Yes, it does.
It creeps in. And here Rachel was, you know, she was a type of the church and a type of what was going to bring forth, you know, the glory to the glory of God, because she was going to bring forth the children that were going to
and their
Joseph and going to bring forth Joseph and Benjamin, which
mm-hmm.
were two of the main children in the Old Testament, you know, and she was a type of the church, and Benjamin is a type of the sons of God in the church,
mm-hmm.
you know, and yet here she was bringing idolatry into the situation,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the church gets off, they get off kilter out there pretty often. And we need to make sure that we don't get off kilter,
exactly.
if we can, you know, just ask the Lord to let us know when we get out of line and try to, you know, move back into the right position, you know, and ask forgiveness or whatever and that kind of thing. But
very strange.
You know.
Because something happened to me this morning. It was so strange. I was deciding what earrings to put on today,
mm-hmm.
and I was looking at my earrings, and I found these earrings that I hardly ever wear, and they had this funny symbol at the bottom of them.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, and I remembered where I got them. And this is not to talk about it, but a Muslim, when we were living in Florida, I had a friend who was, I mean, they lived downstairs
mm-hmm.
from us, and they were Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
And these little earrings seemed to me, they had a symbol on them. And my spirit said to me, you shouldn't be having anything to do with that. Isn't that
mm-hmm.
weird? And I took those things, and I threw them in the garbage can. I just said, I don't know, but I know I don't want them in my possession now. And that happened 10 minutes before we left the house today.
Yeah.
Symbolism means something.
Yes, it does.
Symbolism means something. And it never, I mean, it, because at one time I did have them on, and a person said to me, oh, where did you get those? And I said, oh, I had a Muslim friend in Florida who gave them to me. She said, and she kind of looked at me and she says, yes, I could tell that.
Mm.
And that, you know. But anyway, I just took them and threw them in the garbage can today.
Yeah.
Call me Rachel 2.0. Wow. Sometimes things have to
go. Yeah,
because
she used to give me stuff all the time. They
yeah.
used to bring you stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Well, you know, and I was just looking this morning in the Old Testament, I was looking and I saw where. And I never really had noticed this before, but when God sent Jacob back and he had his encounter, you know,
mm-hmm.
with God, you know, and, you know, one of the places that he sent him back to, and this was when, Benjamin was born, and Benjamin was born in Bethel. You know, the other people were born in other places, but Benjamin was born in Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Benjamin means son of the right hand,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Bethel means the house of God, you know. So, you know, when you think about even how God just, he lines everything up, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's kind of amazing sometimes. I mean, to me it is anyway. When I see it and I look at it, and I think, oh my God, you this is just so perfect the way you got this stuff all laid out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But for, you know, because it was years later when Benjamin was born. Joseph had never known Benjamin. He didn't know him, you know, because
mm-hmm.
he'd been sold into slavery and you know, that'd been years and years
mm-hmm.
down the road. And he was a man, you know, and when Benjamin was born. But, you know, when you see how all this stuff fits, you know, it's just absolutely flabbergasts me sometimes when I see it. I just think, God, everything you do is so perfect. You just got it laid right out. you're even telling a story about the sons of God, you know, that that's, this stuff is going to have to happen at the house of God, you know, but yet, you know, that was where he had his big encounter with God, you know, with God Almighty, El Shaddai, you know. But anyway, but that's good that if you felt that way that you got rid of those. Yeah. I mean, that's a good thing.
What about these four?
Yeah. You know.
Interesting. You probably haven't even picked them up in years.
It probably meant something. It probably, the symbols meant something.
Oh, I'm sure it did.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm interested in 9 and 10. And in my version, it says, we should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And 10 is, do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. Mm-hmm. And I'm going back to the footnote it says here in mine. It says, before we judge the Israelites too harshly, it's helpful to think about what occupies our attention most of the time. Are we grateful for what God has put us, has given us? Or are we always thinking about what we would like to have? And to me, that speaks of today's world, exactly where we are today. We're always looking for the next best thing. We're always looking for the next thing we gotta have, the next thing we think we gotta have. And it's interesting because a friend of mine gave me a book about a month ago that I have not picked up, and I picked it up about a week ago and I started reading it and I can't put the thing down. And it's a book by a guy. He's a Christian, and it's called Life is Messy. And I got to a chapter the other day, and it was on simplicity, about simplifying our lives. And to me, that this is exactly what goes with that to me, is the fact that by simplifying my life, I don't have all these things that I think that I should have or what think that I need. Why not be careful and just realize that God has given me absolutely everything I do need, and not worry about, you know, am I going to have enough, or am I going to do the right thing? Go through me. This whole thing through here, from where we started to where we ended today, speaks through that. I think it speaks through that at all. If you look at the Israel, was Paul's talking to him, he's telling them, well, they were all out there having a good old time and thinking that there's not a care in the world and they're gonna do whatever they think they want to do. Mm-hmm. And that's not what God wants us to do. And that's why he's put us in the position, you know, if we're really trusting in him, to just simplify our life and be grateful for what we have.
Yeah.
You know what else I see in that, Mike, is it's not so much that we don't do, it's that we are always looking to do.
He wanted to know if I could turn your mic off, and I told him no, because I can't. If I turn it off, then I can't hear it. So,
okay.
Why did we want our mic off?
Oh, out there,
but
we can't have both mics at the same time.
Just what you were saying, Mike, there, you know, in the Gospel of John, when Nicodemus came to him, and you know, and he told him about, you know, that you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know. And he goes on down, and you go on down in that chapter, and he gets down to verse 13 and said, No man hath ascended up into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And then verse 14 says, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that whosoever believeth on him should not have perished, but have eternal life. And if you remember what happened back in the Old Testament, was when, because of their sin, when they were all being bit, the serpents, and they were dying. And Moses was told to make a serpent of bronze and hang it upon the pole. And if they looked upon the bronze serpent, they would live, mm-hmm. even if they, you know, even if they'd been bit. Well, that was a type of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But what was he doing? He was taking the place of the serpent nature on cross in all of our lives, you know. Mm-hmm. And he just like he said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, he said, when you lift up the Son of Man, lifted up. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so, and it goes on, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, so, you know, that was even there, and that was Numbers 21:9, you know, back mm-hmm. when you were looking at that. But, you know, Jesus even brought that back around and said, really, what you're doing when you lift me up on that pole, mm-hmm. you know, I'm taking the place of that serpent nature in your life, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
You know, I was just reading that before you was reading in 13, because he said, no temptation or trial regardless enticing to sin, and no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you that is beyond human resistance, and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience, for such as man can bear. But God is faithful to his word, to his compassionate nature, and he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with temptation, he will always also provide the way out, mm-hmm. the means of escape, mm-hmm. to a landing place that you may be capable, strong, and powerful to bear up under patiently. Mm-hmm. Back years back, I see where God is faithful to warn you. Yeah. I went through an experience that God warned me before. But I said, oh yeah, that I thought that I wouldn't fail in this, mm-hmm. that I was strong enough, but I found out not so, you know, and it, mm-hmm. and it was a place where I did not really look to God. He mm-hmm. gave the warning, but I made the choice to try, to think that I was stronger than yet. Don't just say, me, I won't be able. But I found it not to be so. Mm-hmm. And that,
yeah.
that I thought never would happen, happened.
Yeah.
And then, but it, out of it, it brought me to a deeper relationship
Amen.
In him, and drawing more from him, and seeing that there's things in us that we think, oh no, I can handle. But I found not to. But he warned me before.
Yeah.
Well, I found when Mike was speaking that it's not so much that, and to simplify, is to not do the things that we want to do. It's becoming mature enough in our spiritual walk that the only things we want to do is the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, then I remember that song that we used to sing. Until everything I do becomes
the thing that pleases you.
Abba Father, I will be a son
yes.
indeed.
Right.
And when we get to that point where, that's where, and I also looked up here in 1 Titus where it says, godliness with contentment is great gain.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come to that point where we have godliness with contentment,
mm-hmm.
Oh, and not strive. It says right here, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content.
Yeah.
If you have food and clothing, be content. If you are, you know, if it is the will of God that is consuming you all day, every day, and all you want is for everything you do to become the thing that pleases God, you're going to find contentment.
Right.
Oh, yes. And your God said he did nothing. He didn't say or do only what his Father said.
Yes.
And this is what he's wanting
yes.
for us and
yes.
in us.
Mm-hmm.
But many times we
Amen.
Seek contentment and
and even,
pleasure.
Even
like
when
it.
We fail, as you were saying, you
yeah.
know, you saw it, you were warned about it, and yet you made the decision, and somehow it got out of control,
mm-hmm.
and the thing that you didn't want happened.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
what a learning experience. To learn godliness with contentment is great, is gain.
Well, on 7 here it says, do not be, Paul was warning them, do not be idolaters, as some of them were. Don't we live in a world of idols today? You know, what do they call all these people
all these,
on TikTok?
What's the shows that people are watching? American what? Idol?
Well, look at it this way. I look at it this way. Look at, what do they call the people on YouTube and TikTok, what do they call them? They call them influencers.
Mm-hmm.
What's an influencer? They're trying to influence your mindset.
Yeah.
You know, and what about, you know, you see all these people, they try to get their 10 seconds of fame. What are they doing? They're trying to make themselves idols.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad.
I heard someone say, television, listen to what it says. They're telling you a vision.
Mm-hmm. I know that. I was watching Dr. Phil, and he was talking about influencer. And they had, I think, two young women that were influencers. But they went all through that, but then some of them tried to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, they just, I think, couldn't handle it.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, you get all this stuff thrown at you, and, you know, and I love it here because it says, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Well, if they're in revelry, what are you doing? You know, you're in a state of you really unconscious. You're just running around not paying attention.
And you're being controlled.
And you're being controlled.
You're being controlled.
And that's exactly what's going on in the world today. We're all being influenced by all the stuff.
But God.
Except God.
But
we need to go back to the basics. I hate to, you know.
All this stuff on the internet where they have these games, and all you see is shoot, look, bang, bang, kill
yes.
people. And that's okay. influence right there. And then
of course.
They go out and
go and do it.
And then, you know, they're not thinking about, you know, other people's lives. And you know, and I don't know, I really not get on the internet to look at all these things, but when I get on the internet, I look at simple ways to like when you do workmanship or, you know, build stuff, there's several ways to do it without getting all, you know,
yeah.
influenced into it. But I don't know, I think myself that some of the internet shouldn't even be allowed.
Oh yeah.
But they
yeah.
don't have any sensors, that's the thing.
Yeah. So we stopped at 8, right?
Yeah.
And that was, but you know, this goes on. And it doesn't put this in a different classification as 9 or 10. So I'm just going to read 9 or 10
mm-hmm.
out of the Passion. Nor, you know, this is before it was all about sexual immorality and idolatry. I mean, that's pretty serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it says, nor should we ever provoke the Lord, as some of them did, by putting him in outrageous tests that resulted in their death from snake bites day after day. And then 10 says, and this to me is key, and we must not embrace their ways by complaining, grumbling with discontent, as many of them did, and they were killed by the destroyer. If there's anything in the Bible that it says do not do, it is grumble and complain.
Well, there's in my Bible, it says at the beginning of chapter 10, the heading is warnings from Israel's history. What, you know, mm-hmm. why are we dismissing the warnings? Mm-hmm. You know, God has punished people for things that, you know.
You've heard the saying, and I know you've heard it before, that history repeats itself. Mm-hmm. If you don't learn from it, it does repeat itself, you know, because the same things come up, maybe in a different fashion, but the same results happen, you know what I mean?
Well, I hope I don't offend my wife, but, you know, she fell a couple weeks ago off a ladder and hurt her back. And I said, lesson learned.
Well, and you know? I said, stupid is as stupid. That's true.
I wouldn't dare call you stupid.
But I have learned a wonderful lesson from that.
You're not as young as you used to be.
Oh, and there's things that we shouldn't do. We think we can see.
I thought I was Superman.
But you're right.
I can get up there. I can just hit this with the
hand. Oscar's right. History repeats itself. You know, how many times have we done something and then years later go and do the same thing and we get the same result?
Yeah. Well, what do they say? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing expecting a different result every time.
Oh, for your
yes.
I was thinking about, you know, not tempting God. Mm. When it came to my mind when these parachuters jump off a plane, not tempting God.
Oh. You hear about it every once in a while.
Well, if they packed it right, I guess they didn't pack that parachute right, they're in trouble.
I don't think it was meant to jump out of the plane.
No.
I'm relying on the parachute.
Yeah.
But they needed it in the war and places, they did. I had a nephew that did, and about got killed, you know, but he's trained to do it.
Yeah.
And where they were being, had the parachute too, it was during the war and that.
Yeah.
So. There's, you know, there's always a safe way and a way of doing things. Is that when we don't do it as it should have been done, is when the suffering is. I wouldn't say that.
I've thought of doing that a couple of times, and I came to my senses. Way before I met her, though.
God is just faithful in getting warning it. Just a little small voice, just saying, do that, or you shouldn't, you know, experience it every day, just from him, when we're, like you say, how you get up in each day, asking God to guide you and direct you in everything, really, and we should, that we say and do.
How many times have you went to do something and you felt like you really shouldn't do it?
Yep.
And then something happens, and then you think, I knew I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
You know.
Why did we become after the fact?
It's interesting because the other night we had Chinese, and I got a fortune cookie, and I opened it, and it said, and the fortune was, abundance is coming to you in ways you cannot see.
Good.
You know.
People
need to understand that. Mm-hmm. I think that's very spiritual to me, mm-hmm. because abundance is coming to me in ways I cannot see. That doesn't mean that I have to know everything.
You already really have it, but to that's recognize it.
But it's not. But it's not over. That's the thing. It's not over.
What was you saying?
I was listening to Brother Oscar talk about. You know, you get this voice to tell you not to do something, you do it anyway. Mm-hmm. My brother had the same experience. like he'd be getting dressed and going out to the skate rink or something like that. And he went out the door, and my mother, and he came back. My mother said, "What about you going to skate?" He said, "No." He said, "Something told me not to do it." And come find out that where he was going, something happened. Right. And then sometimes he wouldn't listen to this voice, and he'd go anyway. Something happened to him.
Thank God for ever faith.
Yeah, I know.
Oh. That's right.
You know you shouldn't be there.
Well, let's close in a word of prayer. Anybody got anything else? Or anyone feel led to pray?
We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, that you're ever speaking. It's for us to be in the place to hear you, to know your voice, and to do that which you're speaking to us. And may we do only that which pleases you, O God, and say what pleases you. As Christ our brother has done all through his life, and may we so do. Father, just bless in the services we're going to, and the word that is to come forth, Lord. We just put all things into your hand, that you be glorified in everything. We ask it all, God, in Jesus' name.